Welcome to Can't Stop, Won't Stop. I'm your host, Lindsay Ann. And in 2017, my sister-in-law, Egypt Covington, was murdered, and the local good old boys pinned it on her ex-boyfriend for 3.5 years, claiming to need just one more piece of evidence. After protests, emails, phone calls, and fighting for 1.5 years, this small town department finally gave her case to the state police. And within 1 week, you guys, they knew who one of Egypt's killers was, and we now have 3 cowards that pled guilty to her murder. None of them are her ex-boyfriend. We can't stop and we won't stop helping more families seek the justice they deserve. And we won't stop being warriors exposing the corruption happening throughout this nation. Let's do this!
My name is Brian, and I'm coming on in this episode. I want to talk about the situation with my buddy Matt Children, who was killed by the Cleveland County State Police. I was in the car when they hit us. There was definitely 2 police vehicles there, and the one cop car came out of nowhere and hit his broadside into a tree. So there was a tension there. Now, did they intentionally want to kill him? I don't know. But did their actions directly lead to it? Absolutely. Like, how did you know?
But since you've been out, no police officer, has contacted you regarding that?
Nope. Nobody.
Nobody of within, like, law enforcement authorities? Wow.
Nope.
Grampian man killed in crash after fleeing traffic stop. Man killed, another injured, in Clearfield County high-speed chase, state police say. Area man killed in crash while fleeing from police in Penn Township. Police chase ends in fatal crash. Grampian man killed in crash while fleeing from police. Those were just some headlines from the local newspapers. And according to a press release from Pennsylvania State Police Clearfield, Matthew Shelgren, 38, of Grampian, was killed when he crashed during a high-speed chase with police. According to the Clearfield State Police, on April 8, at 11:31 p.m., state troopers attempted a traffic stop on a black SUV operated by Shelgren on Windy Hill Road in Penn Township. The vehicle failed to stop and fled at a high rate of speed. A pursuit ensued, and Shelgren crashed along Harper Mine Road in Penn Township. Shelgren was pronounced deceased at the scene as a result of the crash. A passenger in the vehicle was flown by medical helicopter to UPMC Altoona for treatment of minor injuries. The investigation continues. And according to an article written by Nicholas Malfitano, based on an eyewitness at the scene of the crash, the Pennsylvania State Trooper stated that the pursuit was over a license plate issue. It is said that the State Trooper intentionally executed a pit maneuver and/or forcibly rammed his police vehicle into Shelgren's vehicle, forcing Shelgren's vehicle off of the road and into a tree, killing him. According to a civil lawsuit, Shelgren died at the scene of the crash, but did not die immediately, and endured great pain and suffering, fear, and mental anguish before his death. All of this, allegedly for a license plate issue. But you guys, where is the interview or statement from the passenger that survived? The one with, quote, minor injuries, end quote. And the one that was life flighted to Altoona. I wonder why no one has publicly put his recollection of the, what I believe should be labeled as a homicide, in the news. I wonder if it's because Pennsylvania State Police was surprised that he survived and they had to get their story straight before he tells all. I wonder if it's because Pennsylvania State Police knows they are the reason that Matt Shelgren is deceased. I wonder if it's because Pennsylvania State Police can no longer hide behind what I believe is a lie about what truly happened that fatal evening on April 8, 2023. Please welcome Matt Shelgren's friend and passenger, Brian Uber, also known to many as Country.
Well, anyhow, my name is Brian, and I'm coming on in this episode. I want to talk about the situation with my buddy Matt Shelgren, who was killed by the Cleveland County State Police. I was in the car when they hit us, and I've done a lot of research and stuff. I've been out, and like the lies that have been told, that there was only one vehicle involved, and this, that, and the other. Well, I found out from a reliable source. Matter of fact, the woman whose yard this happened in informed us that there were definitely two police vehicles there. And the one cop car came out of nowhere and hit his broadside into a tree. So, like, you know, yeah. So there was a tension there. Now, did they intentionally want to kill him? I don't know. But did their actions directly lead to it? Absolutely.
That was driving. And the story public is that he was getting pulled over because the original reason for the chase, how it began, was because he didn't have registration.
And the fact is, probably the car wasn't registered, but the other fact is, the reason for them on police cars to check the plate for that, don't read the front of your car, read the back of your car. And when this car came past us, it immediately did a U-turn. So the cop that was in the vehicle knew the vehicle. So it wasn't like
he wasn't following you.
No.
Oh.
He came down off the mountain. We were going up the mountain, and he was coming down the mountain.
And he passed you, and then immediately turned around?
Immediately turned around. Like, it wasn't like it was a long, drawn-out police chase or anything like that. It just, one second.
Really?
Yeah, and then the next time it was over. It almost feels like to me that car was sitting down there, like, you know, because, like, if you're from our area, you know, and all the roads are switchbacks, and you can sit certain places, and you know, you can hear people, you can hear the vehicles coming, you know when people are coming.
So, when do you recall seeing the lights? Did they ever turn the red and blue up?
I want to say that the one behind us did, but I never seen
it. Was that immediate? Was it as soon as he turned around,
the minute he turned around.
Okay, so I was going to say, he or she, I guess we should say at this time, because they have not yet named the officer or officers that are involved. So when... Did the lights get turned on, like, so they were close enough to be able to read that there was, see that there was no registration, or was it?
No. That cop, as soon as he went by, as soon as he came by us, he hit his brake lights and started turning.
And did a U-turn on the road, and then
turned
his lights on, and then bam, you got blindsided.
It was like that quick. Like, I bet you we didn't go 100 yards up the road.
So a football field length. You went much farther than that,
No. It was almost like, if I was a paranoid person, I was thinking somebody was sitting there waiting for me. Yeah. Or us, I should say.
Yeah. So then... Obviously, you don't see this person, and you can't at the time. You have no idea what happened to you. So you get, now you know that you were hit on the side of the car.
Yeah.
And can you kind of explain what was going through your mind through that? Like, do you remember any of that happening?
I had a brief moment of clarity, like when it's right after it happened. Like, I remember coming to, and I really, at that moment, didn't realize it was an accident, but I knew I was. So I'm yelling out the vehicle at the top of my lungs, like, we're only parole violators. We're only parole violators. And I don't know who it was, or, I mean, what status this person was, but I heard him yell out. He said, if you don't shut up, it's going to get messy for you, too.
So you were yelling out, we're just parole violators?
Yes.
And then a cop said to you?
Yeah, he said,
basically,
you better keep quiet. You better keep quiet, or you better shut up before it gets messy for you.
Oh.
And at that time, it wasn't long after, I guess I went back under. I wasn't conscious. And the next thing I really remember is there was a little dog in the truck. And I woke up to it growling. Somebody was trying to reach through the window of the truck. And the little dog growling is what brought me back to consciousness, I guess you call it. And I didn't know who it was, but as it turned out, I guess it was an animal protective people or something. I don't know. But anyhow, so they wanted a dog. So I gave them the dog.
So as soon as their car slammed into the tree, Brian immediately yelled, "We are only parole violators. We are only parole violators." And as a result, he heard the trooper on scene tell him that if he doesn't shut up, things will get messy for him too. I wonder why the trooper didn't yell, "Are you injured?" or "Do you need medical?" or "What's your name?" Nope. Instead, Brian recalls the state trooper threatening him and leaving him injured and going in and out of consciousness for what he believes was nearly 2 hours before getting him help.
And then I forgot about this part. The next thing I clearly kind of remember now that I forgot now that we're talking about it is like I heard somebody said they need the jaws of life. And I'm thinking, what do you need the jaws of life for? You know what I mean? So I grabbed the handle of the door and the door opens up on my side of the truck, on the passenger side front seat. I could get out of the vehicle from the door. So anyhow, they come down there and they brought their little equipment and stuff like that. And I'm not sure what fire department or who it was that came because they didn't make themselves known. But I yelled out the window. I was like, you ain't got to do all that. Door's open. And then the next thing I really remember was waking up in the lifelight.
Jeez. Did you hear them? Did you hear them calling for
no.
Lifelight? Did you?
They said something about the need of the lifelight. They needed a lifelight, and then I heard him cancel it. So at first, I don't know if they even knew I was in the vehicle.
So the first lifelight might have been for Matt.
Matt. Yeah, because I had talked to the lady. Well, I didn't specifically talk to the lady, but
yeah.
I talked to somebody that did talk to the lady, and they said somebody was moaning out there for hours at the, at the site. At the cross site, and I don't believe that was me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
For hours.
And I found out that they left my buddy laying in that lady's yard for I don't know how many hours. It was ridiculous how long he was up there, though. Like, they had time.
I heard he was there for 4 hours.
They had time to flatbed the car to hit us because it totaled it. They had to flatbed it out of there and all that other stuff. But he didn't have time to possibly take care of my buddy. And like, I've been wanting to talk about this thing, but the situation that I was in, I wasn't able to. And I'm glad that, like, a friend of a friend told me you were trying to reach out to me. And I'm glad that this is happening.
Oh, me too. Because all of this just needs to be exposed. And his friends, like you, his family, yeah. They all deserve the truth. And Matt deserves justice. He deserves yeah. the truth to be told. And same with you. Like, I'm so sorry that this happened to you guys. And it makes me wonder, now I don't know this for a fact, but it makes me wonder if they were assuming that you were not going to survive as well, and the story would be however they wanted it to be.
And the crazy thing is like, they could have told me to Clearfield County Hospital, but no, they isolated me all the way to Altoona Trauma Center. And on the way there, they cut every stitch of clothing I had off me. Like, everything I had was cut. Like, there was no putting it back on, none of it. So, like,
really?
Yeah.
So what were your injuries?
I had a severe concussion, and I had a muscle separation in my arm that I still have to this day. The muscle in my arm just kind of hangs there.
So you had a muscle separation in your arm and a severe concussion, and they cut. And maybe that's protocol. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, your boxers and your socks and everything. They left me in the hospital. Absolutely. Like, my wallet wasn't there. Nothing. I was like a John Doe, basically. You know?
Whoa. Wait, did they give you your wallet back?
No, I've never received my wallet back or the couple $100 that was in my wallet.
Have you asked for it, or do you know where it is?
I mean, I imagine the state police have it, but I haven't reached out to them because of this whole situation. I don't even want them to know that I'm back in the area.
They're going to know after they hear this.
I mean, that's cool, because at least now I'm on statement saying what I say, and now it's not going to be a mystery. You know?
And, okay, so is this the first time that you're telling your story?
It's the first time I'm telling it to people outside my little circle.
And when you did, so you get life flighted, and I'm assuming you weren't necessarily conscious. You're in and out of consciousness.
Yeah, I was definitely in and out. I woke up in the hospital room, and my first question to that nurse was like, did anybody else come in with me? And her answer was no.
You wanted to know where your body, where that was.
Yeah. So right after that, I'm out the door. I'm pulling things out of me, and out the door I go. Like, I'm going, at this point, I don't know that Matt has deceased, has died. I had no idea. I didn't know if he got away or, you know,
and
I had no idea.
You walked somewhere, and then...
So Brian told me that as soon as he found out that Matt was not at the hospital with him, he walked out of there in scrubs and the brown hospital socks that were given to him. He claims to have walked for 16 hours to a relative of Matt's home.
And I knocked on her door, and I walked in her door. She turned white as a ghost, and she said, "Is that really you?" And I said, "Yeah, what do you mean?" She said, "You're supposed to be dead." And she reached out and touched me. You know what I mean? Just to verify that I was there. Yeah. And like I told you when I talked to you before, that I've been wanting to talk about this. I've been wanting to do it. I just needed a platform to do it where I knew I didn't have to worry about, you know what I mean?
Brian eventually was taken to the Punxsie Barracks to give a statement.
Yeah, they didn't believe me. They were like, "There's no way." And he tried to convince me that, like, there was only one car in the place and this, that, and the third. His officers would never do nothing like that. And I was like, and he drug me all the way to Punxsie from where they picked me up at. He didn't want to hear any of what I told him. He was like, "Well, this I don't believe it, and just that." But, you know, it's
I'm telling the same story day in and day out, like, and like, my mind was messed up, and like, I didn't have time to come up with a good lie, all that stuff. Like, this was like within hours or a day or so of all this happening, you know. So I didn't have time to tell him a made up story. Like, this is what happened. And like, he looked at me like I was crying, like I was a loser, and that I was lying to him, that his officers or our top rate officers, they would never do anything like that. And I was like, well, how about the two cop cars? I said, how about two cop cars? How about the one that hit his broadside out of nowhere? Let's talk about that. Oh, there was only one cop car at the scene. Yeah, there might have been only one cop car at the scene after you flat bited the other one out. And this is how I'm talking to him, you know. And eventually, it was just to the point where he knew he wasn't getting nowhere with me, and he wasn't going to get me to say anything other than what I already said. So like, his whole interview was over. He didn't want to hear no more from me, and down the road I went.
Brian was then incarcerated and wasn't released until late January 2024. The police stated in their press release in April 2023 that, quote, the investigation continues, end quote. However, Brian told me that he was never questioned about the crash that he was involved in during his 9 months of being incarcerated. Not only then, but as of this recording, you guys, nobody in law enforcement has contacted him since his freedom. Is the investigation continuing? I wonder if Cummings Towing conveniently was called to tow the damaged police car. You know, the tow company that the state police use. I wonder if it's a coincidence that there is a state trooper Cummings with alleged temperament issues, a Clearfield attorney Cummings, and a Cummings Towing Company owned by their daddy. Wouldn't it be crazy if one of the unnamed state troopers involved in Matt Shelgren's death was the son of the guy that towed the police car and the brother of a local attorney whose office is across the street from the courthouse with a revolving door of secretaries? Now that would be ironic. Or would it? I wonder if the trooper that killed Matt Shelgren likes to be in control so much that it made him feel good to be, quote, hands-on with a criminal, end quote. I wonder if there's more to this Cummings triangle than what Pennsylvania State Police and Clearfield County want the public to know. I was informed that Pennsylvania State Police operates two patrol cars with two troopers mandatory in each car during the midnight shift. And on occasion, there is a 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. car that only requires one trooper as well. If this is the case, then that means possibly the only two state police cars covering all of Clearfield County just happened to be next to each other on the very outskirts of their jurisdiction. It would also mean that there were a minimum of three, but most likely four, state troopers at the scene of the crash. Which makes me wonder, what in the fuck were the state troopers doing while Matt was suffering to death? And Brian was going in and out of consciousness for hours. This investigation should be simple. Look at the dash cam footage that I was told is required to be on while operating a state police vehicle. If there were only two patrol cars on duty at the time of the crash, which Pennsylvania State Police claims happened at 11:31 p.m., then I would think it would be pretty easy to pull up the footage and close the investigation. That is, unless Pennsylvania State Police isn't happy with the footage and they are now in panic mode. But what do I know? According to some cowardly Pennsylvania State Police troopers, I'm just a psychopath that gets information from criminals and losers. Let's hear a few final words from Matt Shelgren's friend, Brian Uber.
He was a good person. Very good person. Good-hearted, cared about people. He didn't deserve what happened. Like I said, I'm doing it for Matt, but I'm doing it for all the other people that are going through the same BS with these people. And, like, I understand cops doing their jobs, and I congratulate them for doing their job. But to go above and beyond and do something like that, there's no need for that. We're not in the Wild West no more. There wasn't nobody shooting at him. There was nobody trying to hit the car. There was none of that. He was going, we were going up the road. Like, there was no need to pit maneuver or hit somebody in the side or, you know what I mean, whatever you want to call it these days, into a tree like that. And not only that, like, you're not going to total one of them state police cars in a pit maneuver. Those things are so reinforced. I've seen the damage they can do hitting shit. And if they just did a simple pit maneuver, that car wouldn't have got totaled and it wouldn't need to fly out of there. I'll pit maneuver in a Toyota Corolla and not total it.
Good point.
You know what I mean? Like, they can lie to people that don't know no better, but I've seen the underneath of them cars, and I've seen the reinforcements and all that extra stuff that they have in the front of the cars, and there's no way in the world you're going to total a vehicle by doing a simple pit maneuver. You hit somebody head on the side at a high rate of speed to cause that kind of damage. I'm not saying that I'm innocent in any of this. I'm just as guilty as the next person. I was there. I was doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, but nobody deserved to die. And that's what makes me so angry.
Absolutely. And then to lie about it.
And make it sound like they did everything they could. No, you didn't. You left me laying in a vehicle that was wrecked for a couple of hours like that. And I don't even know how long I was there before you knew I was there. And you left a human being, whether he is right, wrong, or indifferent, you left a human being laying in some people's yard for 4 hours. 4 hours. You had time to come and flatbed a car that you guys totaled out of there before you could take care of a human being laying on the ground dead. I don't know what else to say other than you knew the outcome of what was going to happen when you do that to somebody. You know the outcome. You know the possibility, a real good possibility that somebody's going to die. And they made the decision to do that anyway. And all because Matt was who Matt was, and they didn't like Matt.
I believe that Matt Shelgren is not the first person targeted by Pennsylvania State Police. And he could probably, most likely, not be the last. This abuse of power needs to stop. The public deserves the truth, not just what the police want them to know. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to Brian Uber, also known as Country, for taking the time to talk with me and tell his truth about the night that his good friend, Matt Shelgren, was killed by Pennsylvania State Police troopers. If you are in a position of power and are witnessing the corruption and keeping quiet about it, you are just as much to blame. It's time to stop turning a blind eye to the corruption, and it's time to start talking. Our voices matter. Clearfield County needs to stop being run by those that are in powerful positions and those that have money. I have found that the ones who care the most and are the prey to these disgusting predators are the middle to lower class, hard-working community members of Clearfield County that deserve better. I'm disgusted with Clearfield County, Pennsylvania, and I won't stop exposing the truth. Thank you to every one of our patrons. Because of your generosity and consistent support, we are able to bring on new cases and help more families seek the justice they deserve. If you'd like to join this incredible community, check out patreon.com. That's patreon.com/can't stop won't stop. It'll cost you a minimum of $3 a month, and your money, you guys, it goes towards helping grieving families. In order to continue our passion, we need your help to support our donations to families, headstones for deceased loved ones, FOIA requests for loved ones, hotel and travel costs for us to meet grieving families, and so much more. Again, that's patreon.com/can't stop won't stop. We appreciate you. I can't stop and I won't stop being a warrior for justice. Too many people are afraid to speak up and tell their truth. I'm here to help give you the confidence to use your voice and share your story. Our voices matter. Your voice matters. Use your First Amendment right and speak up. That's how we create change. Be a warrior and fight for justice. For almost daily updates, you can follow me on TikTok at MyLindsayAnn, and I'm on Instagram at MyLindsayAnn, on Facebook at Can't Stop Won't Stop, where you can go live with us on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, and on YouTube at Can't Stop Won't Stop Warriors. Thank you to Mr. Peace for allowing me the rights to use the song, Where'd You Go?, featuring our beloved Jacqueline Elizabeth Egypt Covington.
You know, I don't know why so much pain and loss has to happen. I don't have all the answers.
Where'd you go?
Only he does.
I missed you so.
And
seems like it's been
sometimes
forever.
The best thing to do is just trust it.
It was back in 04 when Grandpa died and my shirt was soaking wet with tears from my eyes. You tried to calm me down, tried to plead your case, but I just bit that faith right back in your face. And you said, while you may not understand now, somehow, someday, some way, you'll find out why it had to be. Yeah, according to his plan, he won't put you through anything that he thinks you can't make it through. With his everlasting love, you may need to scream at the top of your lungs, 'cause while you think he died,